Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Yes, it's time for some entertainment news. Steve Cochran Show. Justin Kaufman in for Steve today here on WGN Radio. Of course, Dean, usually sponsored by Ravinia. This is interesting because we have a pair of lawn tickets to Ravinia to give away July 21st. See Ghostbusters celebrating its 35th anniversary. Score performed live by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Dean will be leading the pre-concert discussion. It seems like something you'd be down for.
Well, actually, I was there last night.
Hey! Well, we might have to do an entertainment report on that. 312-981-7200. One pair of lawn tickets right now. Caller number 7. How about that? Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
What were you there for last night?
Lady Antebellum.
Oh!
Great concert. Great concert.
Is Lady Antebellum the are they the group that does a lot of acapella type stuff, like the four of them? There's like three or four of them?
Not acapella. They do acoustic stuff.
Acoustic.
Three of them.
Three of them. That was close.
And they were terrific. And actually, and tomorrow night they're doing the West Side Story with the CSO, and I am going to that.
Wow. And Grant Park Symphony Orchestra last night did The Wizard of Oz. That's the new thing. Everybody's just putting it up there.
Is. Yeah.
We've got to start thinking. I can't wait till it gets to the next tier of movies. Mm-hmm. When maybe the movies are not as good, you know, when they're doing like, Turner and Hooch, or they're doing, you know, maybe the Fast and the Furious movies.
Somehow I don't see Chicago Symphony Orchestra doing this score for Fast and Furious.
Well, we'll see. Some good songs. Maybe. I don't know. Some good rap rock in there. We'll figure it out. Josh Hill's here. He is the editorial director at fansided.com. He's in for Dean Richards today. Dean was in L.A. interviewing the cast of Lion King, and he'll be back for the block party tomorrow. Josh, good to see you.
Yeah, good to be here.
All right, so let's get right into the entertainment report. As we mentioned, Lion King, this is the big weekend. They're going to save the summer. This is going to be the biggest movie since Endgame?
Well, I hope so. Came on here a couple of weeks ago and talked about how it was one of the worst summer movies that I've seen in a very long time. But The Lion King, that's going to be what I think saves not just the summer for movies, but kind of the summer in pop culture. We haven't had an event, a capital E event, a pop culture phenomenon yet. I thought maybe Us was going to be that. Obviously we had Avengers, but that's a superhero movie, so that's to be expected. Right. But you got Beyonce behind this. You've got Childish Gambino, Donald Glover in it. And it's The Lion King. It's Disney. So they're throwing a lot of money behind this. Beyonce is behind the album, which Elton John was for the original. So I really think this is going to be a moment.
It's a live-action remake, I guess. Live-action is the right word to use. Is it the same? It's the same movie. So do we know if it's any good? Is it getting reviews yet? Are we at the point where we can assess whether or not this Lion King remake is worth it?
Well, so far it feels like this is a technical feat. So a lot in the line of Jurassic Park back in the day, where this is a game changer for CGI, for the technical side of things. Right. And then it's also a marvel because it's Disney. It's nostalgia. We're tapping into something that you already have a built-in audience for. You've got people who saw the original animated classic back in the 90s, and now an entire new generation who are going to be introduced to this either because Beyonce's in it or because their parents, their uncles, their older friends are going to go be taking them to this movie, which is why I really think this is going to be a moment. There's going to be so many ways to consume The Lion King, and we haven't had that yet in either movies or pop culture yet this summer. It feels really weird to be this
far. I haven't paid much attention to The Lion King. I've seen all the posters and some of the controversy over they would put like Childish Gambino's name, and then there'd be the lion cub, and you're like, okay, that's not him. That's a lion. But is the CGI? Is it? Are they making the lions talk, or is it gonna be more like Babe, where it's the pig talks, but he doesn't talk?
No, Babe, the real throwback. If we're talking about reboots that we need, I need the Babe reboot, the gritty take on Babe.
Oh, Babe was the best. I love Babe.
Yeah, the pig doesn't talk. It talks, but it doesn't like move its mouth. And I was wondering if they're going to do the Mr. Ed peanut butter in the mouth thing for these lions.
No, well, the lions talk. So.
All right.
And it's a star-studded cast, too. Like, Seth Rogen is in this.
John Oliver
is in it. So the lions talk. They've done this before, Disney has. They did it with Beauty and the Beast. They just released the Mulan trailer, which is actually a bit of a left turn from all of these classic remakes, where it's basically a shot-for-shot live-action remake. Mulan is more of going to be a war movie, it seems. But The Lion King is going to stick with the golden era of Disney, where it's going to be a faithful adaptation. And then my question off of that is this finally our first real Oscar contender of the season? Because we haven't had one of those yet either. A technical feat, like I said, it's Disney, so they're going to throw a ton of money behind it to try and get it nominated for both the technical side of things and a Best Picture. Who knows? A voice actor for Best Actress, Best Actor, that's never really happened before. So,
and Beyonce's all over the soundtrack, so I'm assuming it's going to be Best Song as well.
Yeah, she's going to be performing at the Oscars. I mean, this is perfect, because the Oscars last year with Bohemian Rhapsody, they wanted to draw in an audience. They want to get younger. They want to get more relevant. And having Queen literally lead the show off right. and win Best Picture, that really helped with the conversation with not just cinephiles, but people who just go to the movies and want to have a good time. The Lion King has a lot of that going on, too, where it's going to be the songs and everything.
The weekend will have all sorts of films. And I think about the summer, because summer rarely gets represented when it comes to the Oscars. You'll get these big summer movies. But we're seeing some indie films that are grabbing attention. I think of Lulu Wang's The Farewell. Well, Awkwafina is the lead in that. That comes out this weekend. That's an indie art film that is getting a lot of buzz. A film I saw that I loved, Last Black Man in San Francisco, another film that could get some Oscar buzz. So it does feel like there are at least some independent films that might be getting some Oscar buzz early.
Yeah, and it feels kind of like 96, 97, where you had really the culmination of the early 90s Sundance phenomenon, where you had all of these young independent filmmakers coming up and making it to the mainstream, and all of a sudden the Coen brothers smashed through and Fargo's a thing. And you have all of these smaller movies. And that was 96, I believe, because Titanic was 97. 96 was a similarly down year where we didn't have that runaway film where we're just like, this is it. This is the big, huge blockbuster where everybody's going to get behind it. And so I agree. Last Black Man in San Francisco, really good movie. The Farewell, also fantastic. So there's silver lining here if we don't get a big pop culture movie nominated for Best Picture or in the Oscar running to keep that conversation relevant, there's at least going to be good films to pick from. I just don't know how many people are going to be talking about The Farewell come December. You know, you can't just walk up to somebody on the street and say, hey, did you see The Last Black Man in San Francisco?
Is that what you're doing? You're just walking down Michigan Avenue? Hey, excuse me, I'm one of the strangers. Did you see Last Black Man in San Francisco? All right, well, Josh Hill's here. We're talking entertainment. We'll take a quick break and come back and continue. We got to talk about Jason Momoa's figure. That's a big story. And the ESPYs, which were last night.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Six3O's got a great one, Joe. You like this. Steve Cochran Show here. Just like Robin Williams is my genie, Jonathan Taylor Thomas is my Simba.
That's right.
Hashtag not my Lion King.
Do you think the Gator is going to make a cameo?
Yeah, it should. Maybe it's not only a promotion for Crawl, the alligator movie coming out, but also maybe
for
there's a
Lion King.
A Lion King.
I mean, that would make sense.
It would.
They could CG him in, too.
Josh Hill is here. He's the editorial director at fansided.com. We're talking entertainment. Dean Richards is off today. This segment sponsored by Ravinia. All right, so before we go, this is the week of the Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. San Diego Comic-Con starts, which is the big... It's going to be interesting. The next week will be for all the pop culture needs for superheroes, for Star Wars, all that kind of stuff. There's going to be a lot of news. Usually comes out because they save this stuff and reveal it at the Comic-Con.
Yeah, so... It's always been the mecca, for a lack of a better term, the nerd mecca, which is not such a dirty word as it was maybe 10, 15 years ago. But Marvel, kind of like what we were talking about with The Lion King, it is a tentpole event. It is a franchise. That is why we go to the movies. In this whole conversation about golden television and, oh, I can just sit at home and watch Netflix, I'll binge Stranger Things this weekend and not have to leave, you want to draw people out. And Marvel has really found a way to do that. So if you want to see... You don't want an Endgame spoiled for you. You have to see it on Thursday, Friday, Saturday before you go into work. Now, my question with that is, what is the future of Marvel? Well, we're hopefully going to find out more about that at Comic-Con.
Right.
Because now we're going into uncharted territory. We've wrapped up Iron Man, Captain America, not sure what's going on with Thor, and now we're going to be testing new characters, new franchises, new tentpoles. That's why Spider-Man was such an interesting release, because that's the next legacy holdover from, oh, I remember that character, I can follow them into this new generation. But now we're going to get, like, The Eternals is a movie that's going to be coming. I think Angelina Jolie is attached to be in that. And now we're also going to be branching out into more representation. Mm. I believe that they're going into some Asian comic characters that we haven't seen before. So now that Marvel has a foothold It's going to be interesting to see what they do to not only hold that, but to then expand it and say, all right, what can we do to build upon this? Because if they rerun the same thing that we just saw for the last 10 years, we just build towards something. We don't add anything new. I mean, people are still going to go see the movies, but we saw with DC, you can displease a large portion of your fan base if you don't do it right.
Like everybody, I grew up a DC fan, and Marvel wasn't really a thing when I was a kid. You know, Batman, Superman, that kind of stuff. They took the summer off. Shazam was a lucky hit at the beginning of the summer, but they haven't been around. But they're going to have some big hits coming up here, possibly with the Joker movie, which is again another storyline. But this is what is it? What's his name? Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix is in.
Joaquin Phoenix is the big star of that. That's interesting. And then you got Wonder Woman next year. So it seems like DC Comics has a chance to sort of grab some of that real estate back.
Yeah, and you would hope so, because that was kind of the excitement of, oh, we're going to have this great comic book war. We're going to have Marvel has already established themselves, like 2008. But that's right, 2008, Iron Man, everybody's nostalgic about that. We forget that that's when The Dark Knight came out, the Christopher Nolan, Heath Ledger film, which didn't really fit into the grander plan of DC because they didn't have one at the time. But the DC Marvel thing has been a thing for the last 10, 11 years. But DC's never really showed up to the party. It's always been Marvel. So the Joker's going to be interesting. Enlisting Joaquin Phoenix, you got an Oscar-nominated talent behind there. Todd Phillips is directing it. The guy did The Hangover.
Wow.
So you're getting a weird, comedic, dark mix going on there. It's supposed to be a standalone film. I don't know if it's going to fit into the larger picture of what they have going on. But if it's a success, they're going to build around it.
What a great idea, though, to do an origin story film for Joker.
Yeah. He's one of, if not the greatest comic book villain of all time. He's up there with Darth Vader. As you think of pop culture villains, you're like, oh, yeah, the Joker, this guy who's been around for years and years and years and decades. And to give him an origin story and to just focus on him is fascinating. And it's also the fascination of focusing on the anti-hero. He's the hero of the movie. There's no Batman. There's no good guy in the movie. We have to follow the Joker. Yeah. So it's going to be real fascinating to see. And hopefully this is a pivot for DC away from trying to copy the Marvel blueprint of this is what you do, and carving out their own thing. So that's the real excitement there. And it's very artistic. So we've got a convergence of two talents you didn't think were going to come together. Joaquin Phoenix, the method actor, who I bet he was real fun to be on set with while he's going deep into character as the Joker.
Right.
And then Todd Phillips, who is, you know, he's directed blockbusters.
Well,
before.
A good transition to some pop culture news. Jason Momoa is getting the treatment that I think a lot of women always get, celebrity women, when they're at the beach and boats try to take pictures of them in bikinis for the tabloids. He's getting a little bit of that. He's out in at the poolside, and he doesn't look as Aquaman-ish as he once did. In a strange way, he's being fat shamed.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's for being slightly less buff than he already was, which if Jason Momoa is fat, I'm never taking my shirt off ever again. Like, not even in the shower. Like, this is, I can't do it. Like, to your point, we deal with this all the time on the internet. It's like, come on. He's Jason Momoa. He's one of the most popular, well-liked people in the entire sphere of pop culture. He's likable every single time he's on the red carpet. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's one of the good guys. And then the fat shame him for that? Like, why? Like, he's still incredibly buff.
Yeah.
Because he's not rippled? Like, I don't know. But it was an instance where the internet did kind of rally back around him and say, this is wrong. And it did open up an opportunity for a lot of people to say, this has happened to me too, and it didn't make me feel good, and I'm in no position to be judged like Jason Momoa is. So it was kind of a segue into a conversation, I think, that needed to happen. But it's also social media, so these things kind of, they're like tears in the rain,
right?
they get lost. So,
Josh, let's quickly finish on the ESPYs for last night. Mm-hmm. They put the ESPYs on the one day that no major sports is happening. Mm-hmm. This is I don't know, it kind of feels like a manufactured award show. It's obviously something that has been successful, but didn't go as well last night as it has in the past.
No, it's absolutely manufactured. I mean, like, we already know who the best teams are. We don't need to re-award them. It was cool seeing, like, the U.S. Women's National Team. They were in the parade in New York in the morning, and all of a sudden they're showing up at the ESPYs, and you're trying to determine which ones are still drunk still, and which was a fun little game to play. But that was really the highlight, because there's nothing else going on. The ESPYs have long been this kind of just, like, it's a manufactured thing. Tracy Morgan bombed. his opening monologue, which was unfortunate. And another case where, I mean, the man almost died 5 years ago. We almost lost Tracy Morgan. And 5 years later, everybody's killing him because he can't tell funny jokes on about sports. And Drake, Justin Timberlake, you got Peyton Manning, the old Norm MacDonald from 1998, the classic, although that's kind of his style, is to go up and bomb and be, you know, right. to keep it going so long it turns into funny.
It's still being talked about, so that's the thing. Did you watch, Dave?
I did not watch.
Yeah, you were at Lady Antebellum.
I was at Ravinia. I probably would have turned it on for a minute. I mean, to me, this is just something that was created to fill the day after the All-Star break when there's not much sports going on. And, you know, because ESPN says we're supposed to care about it, I guess we're supposed to care about it.
Right. Well, I will say this. Megan Rapinoe is becoming one of my favorite athletes of all time. Yeah. You know, obviously she's politically outspoken, and it's not really about her politics. It's just about the fact that the way she is celebrating and using her fame right now to casually inject herself into everything American, it's kind of amazing. She is at that rally yesterday, at that parade afterwards. That sort of on the podium, she's out there dancing, she's kind of gyrating around.
And how many people you think are going to have purple hair
I thought about it. I was like, hey, I got I want that kind of energy in my life. I need that. This is how I got to live my life now.
Very good. It's fun to watch them celebrate the unbelievable achievement. Josh Hill, editorial director over at fansided.com, in for Dean today. Josh, thanks for coming in and talking about pop culture.
Happy to be here.